So we had a great homecoming celebration a few weeks ago. Pictures and items are still out in the entryway. In fact, we've decided one more week. So if you have any that you haven't brought in yet, this is your chance. Next Sunday will be the last week for all the items there. A lot of those belong to the church archives, and others belong to some of you that you've let us put out and display. But thank you for that. But we had a wonderful time reconnecting, not just looking at those old pictures, but during the homecoming day, we had lots of old friends and family back here in the church, and a good time to reconnect with people and tell those stories and memories. And I hope, I'm sure that we will at some point have another event like that. Maybe we'll wait for a momentous anniversary, or maybe we'll just have another homecoming celebration in another year or two. But it's good to look back. It's good to remember, to take stock of all that has been done here, all that God has accomplished in our church. At the same time, though, it's also important to look forward as a church. It's important to look forward to what God still has in store for us, to recommit ourselves, to build on the foundation that has been established and laid by past generations, to celebrate the legacy of faith, but also to look ahead, because we believe, we trust that God has many more years of fruitful and important ministry still for this church to do. And so as much as it is a blessing to celebrate what God has done, we know that that work of God in this church is not done, that there is still more to be accomplished here. And so our mission is not complete. Broadway still has many more years ahead of us. And we need to have that same attitude as we think about our own spiritual lives. And I know there's sort of a temptation as we look at our lives of faith to think, oh, you know, I've done a lot. God has been at work in my life for many years. And now we can just kind of rest and coast through life. But that's not ever what God wants us to think as we look at our own lives of faith. We need to be looking forward, always looking forward, to not coast on the fumes of past glories, but instead to use what God has done to this point in our lives as energy and fuel to guide us into the future. We need to keep looking ahead, keep growing in our faith. And that was the message that Paul had for his own life, as well as a message that he wanted to share with the people in the church at Philippi. So listen to these words in Philippians chapter 3 as Paul thinks about, again, his own walk of faith, knowing that maybe his life was nearing an end, and yet Paul was not done with the things that God was doing in his life. So Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote these words at what he must have known was almost the end of his life. I shared this as we've been looking at passages in Philippians, that Paul wrote this while he was under house arrest in Rome. He knew that he was waiting trial there. That trial would very likely result in his execution, which it did ultimately end in his death there in Rome. But Paul, after many years of faith and ministry and mission work, he knew now that maybe the end was coming for him. And you can hear that in his words. He knows that he's about to achieve that goal that God has set before him. But knowing that death was coming, Paul didn't just look back on the glory days and celebrate the past. No, Paul was still looking ahead. He was still looking forward. He was still pushing ahead to accomplish more, to do more, to experience more of God's presence in his life. He was pressing on, desiring more of Christ. Paul was not just longing after heaven. That was certainly part of what was in his mind. He did anticipate and hope for the glories of heaven. But he also at the same time was striving for more in this life. And so here's what we need to take hold of today. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, and I know there are some of you here who have been walking with Jesus, you have known Jesus, you have had faith in our Lord for 60, 70, 80, 90, I'll stop before we get too much farther. For many, many years. And that is a wonderful celebration of God's faithfulness. You should rejoice at how God has walked with you for all of those many years. There are others here, though, who are just starting out your life of faith. Some of you who have just begun to take your first steps of following Jesus. And either way, wherever you are in your walk of faith, these words that Paul wrote should challenge us to keep growing, because this passage of Scripture, this challenge before us today, applies equally if you have been walking with Jesus for many decades or if you have just taken your first few steps of faith. We need to keep pressing on. Some people might think, well, I just met Jesus. And I'm happy with that. I've got my ticket punched for heaven. I'm content with knowing that I will spend eternity with Jesus. And that's enough for me. I'm good. I'm not really looking to become all that religious, some people might think. Someone else might say, you know, I've been there and done all that for decades. I have sung all the hymns. I've read all the books, I've served on all the boards, I've gone to all the meetings. I think it's time for me to retire. Faith has been good, don't get me wrong, but I'm going to take it easy now. Maybe you are somewhere in between those two ideas. But there's always that temptation in the Christian life to coast. There's always that temptation to be content with a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of faith and to just give a little bit of our hearts to the Lord. Well, I'm afraid that if that is your attitude or if that temptation is somewhere in your heart or in your mind, or maybe you've already given in to that and you've been coasting for a while, I'm afraid that's not good enough. Even for a missionary like Paul, even for someone who had spent years traveling in the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel, suffering for his faith, Paul, of all people who have ever lived since Jesus, could have said, I've done enough. I'm tired. Here I am, locked up. Let someone else do the hard work. Paul could have said, I deserve a little bit of rest. But Paul, under arrest, waiting for trial, knowing that his life was about over, Paul had just the opposite view. He still wanted more. He still wanted to keep growing. And my hope is, my prayer for each of us is, that we feel the same way. I hope that you want to keep growing in your faith, to keep growing toward the Son and in Jesus and experiencing more of what God has for you, to become more and more like Jesus in all that you do. And so if that is your attitude, and I hope it is, then this passage should be an inspiration. It should be a challenge for you, because it tells us how to keep growing toward the Son. And the first thing that it tells us is that we need to grow in our knowledge of Jesus. grow in your knowledge of Jesus. Now, my sense is that most of us are actually pretty good at this. Those of you who spend a lot of time in the church, we like to read God's Word. We like to learn about Jesus. We like to go to Bible studies and Sunday school classes and small groups. And many of you, a lot of us are involved with Immerse. We're reading through the Bible together. And if you haven't noticed, we're about halfway through. We've read the New Testament last fall. We're working our way through the Old Testament. We're about halfway through the Bible as a whole. And we're enjoying it. That's one of the strengths of this church, is that we like to read the Bible and learn about Jesus. But maybe there's more to it than just studying the Bible. Paul says it this way: I want to know Christ. And we'd all say, yeah, Paul, we like to know Jesus. We like to read all the stories and know all about Him. And then Paul says it this way: yes, to know the power of His resurrection. And again, we're right there with Him. Yeah, Paul, we love thinking about resurrection. We love thinking about heaven. That is the glory and the promise of our faith. Yes, we like that. And then he says this: and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. And then we say, well, wait a minute, Paul. That doesn't sound quite like what we do in Sunday school. Becoming like Jesus in His death. You see, for Paul, knowing Christ was not just knowing about Jesus. It wasn't just rehearsing those stories. Reading and studying the Bible, that's important. It's one of the central spiritual practices that we need to be doing as we grow in our faith, and that's important. I love to teach the Bible. I love to help people grow in their knowledge of who Jesus is, but this passage is pointing us to something deeper than that. To know the power of Jesus' resurrection and to participate with Him in suffering, to know about His death, to join with Him in His death, that means far more than just knowledge that we put inside our heads. It means that we need to know Jesus deeply in our hearts and in our souls to be ready to join with Him, to participate with Him in suffering for the gospel, in loving people sacrificially. It means understanding the power of God's resurrection, means that we will encounter that power that still changes lives today. In other words, it's not just about knowing about Jesus, it's about joining with Him in the work that He's doing in the world today, which means changing lives and helping people grow in their faith and meeting people in those difficult and dark moments of their life and walking with them just as Jesus walked with us through the darkest moments of our lives. It means suffering. It means giving of ourselves. Knowing Christ happens partly in our minds, but it also needs to happen inside our hearts. And as it does, if we're willing to know Christ in those ways, then we can also do this. We can become more like Jesus. Now, I know that idea is a bit cliche in the church. I want to be like Jesus. Remember, what would Jesus do? That's a good thing to ask. But I think Paul had something more specific in mind. Again, he says, becoming like Jesus in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. It's good for us to learn about Jesus. It's good for us to know about His death and His resurrection. Those are important stories. That is the centerpiece of our faith. And we are also called to become like Him in His death and in His resurrection. So what would Jesus do? That goes well on a t-shirt or on a bracelet that people like to wear. But the real question for us that's being asked in this passage of Scripture is that as we grow in our faith, how can I become like Jesus in His dying and in His rising? How can I become like Him in His death? How can I become like Him in His resurrection? How can I give myself for the cause of Christ? How can I lay down my life for the good of others and lift them up? How can I die more to sin and to selfishness? How can I put to death in my life all of the things that dishonor God? How can I put to death those things that hurt other people? And then, how can I live for God's glory? How can I show others that I have a new life that's not like the old life? Because I've been changed through Jesus. I've died and I've risen again, and so I'm new. How can I show that to the world? How can I live with the hope of resurrection, knowing that the things of this life are going to pass away and they don't matter anyway? Knowing that I'm okay that this life will end, because what waits for me in heaven will be better by far. You see, becoming more like Jesus means loving people the way that He loved people. It means praying the way that Jesus prayed. It means obeying God even when it's hard, like Jesus did. It means speaking the truth in the face of opposition, just like Jesus did. And it means dying like Jesus did, so that we can then rise to everlasting life like Jesus did. The real challenge for us, especially for those of us who have walked with Jesus for a long time, the real challenge is becoming like Jesus in His death. Because that takes a lifelong commitment to put to death anything and everything in our lives that is not honoring to God. And that's not easy for us. It takes an everyday commitment. And it requires this: to never settle in your faith. Never settle in your faith. For too many Christians, faith looks like a one-time experience. And I don't think this is true of most of us in the room here today, but I know there are people like this. You get born again, you say a prayer, you accept Jesus, and then you think, great, I'm going to heaven now. That was the promise, right? If I say the prayer, then I get to go to heaven. So I've said the prayer, now I'm good. That's enough for me. Some people then never grow in their faith. And if that's your attitude, if that is how you've been living your life of faith, then you are settling for less than what God desires for you. You're not living up to your potential. That was what Paul was concerned about. I think as he looked at his own life, and again, Paul, maybe the greatest, most faithful, most productive, fruitful Christian who's ever lived, he was concerned in his own life, but also he's thinking about the people who are going to read his letter at the church in Philippi. And now, 2,000 years later, millions and millions of people have read these words and are challenged and hopefully inspired by these words. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." You see, the longer you have walked with Jesus, the more you need to remember this verse. Not that I've already obtained it all. Not that I've already arrived at my goal, because sometimes that's how we think. Complacency is a constant temptation for Christians, especially for mature Christians. And by mature, I mean those of us who've been walking with Jesus for a long time. Just because you've walked with Jesus a long time doesn't mean you're mature in your faith. Just means you've been walking for a long time. Paul had every reason to stop growing. He could have just retired. He was in prison, chained up for spreading the gospel. He had already touched thousands of lives, started all these churches. He was a leader. He was an evangelist. What was left for Paul to prove? Enjoy your golden years, Paul. It's okay. It's easy for us to rest on our laurels. You know what that expression means? Back in the Greek Olympic days, this even predates Jesus, the victor, the winner of the race, or the politician who wins the election would be given a crown of laurels, these nice evergreen flowers woven into a crown, and you'd wear that crown to symbolize that you were the victor. You had done it all. You had accomplished all that you needed to accomplish. And so if you then rest wearing the crown, it's like you're saying, I'm good. I've won the race. I don't ever need to run again. And that's the temptation for us. Paul may have had those tempting thoughts. He probably did. That's why he wrote these words. Because he's reminding himself, encouraging himself, and of course we get to read in on what he's thinking. And so he says, no, I haven't already arrived. I haven't obtained all of this. No, I'm going to press on. I'm going to keep striving. And so we don't settle for a little bit of Jesus or for doing some of God's will. We don't settle for serving for a while in the church. We don't settle for worshiping God a few times, every once in a while. We don't settle for praying every now and then. No, we don't settle. We press on toward the goal of our faith. And what is that goal? What is it that we are striving for? What is Paul pressing on toward? What are we pressing on toward? Well, we focus on the goal of Christ-likeness. That is the goal, to become more like Jesus. Christ-likeness. Following Jesus is hard because it means that we have to live like Jesus. We have to do the things that Jesus did. It means sacrifice and suffering. It means rejection by the world. And in our culture, that is becoming more and more a reality. And we may not like that, but we should understand that that is nothing new in the history of the world. It might be new in our experience, but it's nothing new. Jesus was rejected. In fact, he told us, he promised us, if you follow me the way I'm asking you to follow me, the world's going to reject you. We face temptations, temptations to settle, to give up, to turn back when it gets hard. So how do we make it through? How do we keep growing in our faith? Well, we need to stay focused on the goal. Paul says this, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Set your eyes on the finish line. Don't look to the left or the right. Don't even look behind. Focus only forward. Focus on the goal of your faith. Paul says, there's one thing that I do. The one most important thing, the single-minded focus of his life. He was completely determined. Ignore all the distractions, remove all the obstacles, keep moving ahead, keep growing toward the sun, keep becoming more and more like Jesus. Because the goal of our faith and the prize that God has prepared for us is two sides of the same coin. You see, the goal of our faith is that we keep growing. We keep becoming like Jesus in this life. We love like he did. We obey God like he did. We read and follow God's word. We pray and worship like he did. We become more like Jesus in all that we do. But then on the other side of that coin is the prize that God has for us, which is the ultimate hope and fulfillment of our faith, to be united with Christ for all eternity in heaven. And we are striving ahead for those two things that share the same motivation in our lives, the goal of our faith and the prize of our faith. And this should remind us of what we read back in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, when Paul says, and the same thoughts are going through his mind, and he says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And both are equally important. It's the goal and the prize of our faith. And that is what we press on toward until God calls us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we give you thanks for the new life that we have received, that we have died and been raised again with Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in our new life to keep pressing forward, never to settle for just a little bit of who you are or who you want us to be, but to press on, to strive for greater and better and more important things that you have for us and that you will do through us. And Lord, as we do, as we seek after the goal of this life, to become more like Jesus, remind us of the great prize that you have waiting for us in heaven. And so no matter how hard this life may get, no matter how the world may reject us, we know there is something far better waiting for us. Lord, we thank you for your great love for us and for the promise that you walk with us as we continue to seek after Jesus Christ and to become like him. Lord, what a great promise you have made us, that you walk with us in this life and that you will take us to be with you in the next life. So Lord, help us to press on. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.